This is The Big Web Show, episode number 43. This show features special guests and topics like web publishing, art direction, content strategy, web technology, and more. It's everything web that matters or could matter and or will matter. It's hosted by Jeffrey Zeldman, the godfather of the web, and by Dan Benjamin, that's me. We'd like to thank MailChimp.com for sponsoring. We'll tell you more about them later. And without any further ado, Jeffrey Zeldman, perhaps you could introduce our amazing guest today.
I just wanted, did you just call me the godfather of the web?
Yeah, should I, is that improper?
No, it's nice to be appreciated. Latkes, eh?
Yeah. What? Potato pancakes for those uninformed. Latkes.
Very nice. Today we have Krista Stevens, the amazing Krista Stevens. Very shy, hard to get her to do this show, to come out of her shell. She is a recluse, a reader, an editor, a writer, a true believer, a four-eyed bookworm, a hopeless introvert in her own words. She's also the editor of A List Apart and an automatician. And I'd like to start there. Krista, good morning. Good afternoon.
Hello, Jeffrey.
How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you today?
Fantastic. You recently became an automatician. What exactly does that mean? It means you work at Automattic, correct? On
That's
WordPress,
correct.
on a variety of products.
My main operation right now is PollDaddy. PollDaddy is a web application with which you can make polls, surveys, quizzes, and ratings. And I'm doing a sort of a new job related to PollDaddy. It's something new and novel, as Matt would say. And what we're trying to do is look at the user experience. Reach out to our customers, do some community advocacy, that kind of stuff. So it's been a real ride. It's been great. I've been there for about 2 months now. Team is fantastic. We're spread out all around the world. There's only six of us on PollDaddy, so it's nice. It's a really small, close-knit team.
Better PollDaddy than GoDaddy.
Oh, absolutely. You can say that again. So this
PollDaddy's commercials are much less sexist. I find the PollDaddy commercials much more wholesome and appealing.
Yeah, well, so PollDaddy, if I remember right, PollDaddy was this little startup. It was one of the many acquisitions that Automattic has made, Krista. So how did you inherit this thing, and what's been going on with it? Because this is one they bought this PollDaddy, and then they kind of tweaked it around. But now, should we expect like a renaissance, a whole bunch of new stuff? How did you inherit this? What are you doing with it?
Well, I mean, I'm part of a team. So there's six of us that are located around the world. PollDaddy itself is actually based in Ireland. We have Lenny, Donica, and Owen, who are all based in Ireland. We have John, who's another one of our developers, and he's based in England. And we have Kevin Conboy, who's our designer, and he's based in Denver. And then there's me. Let's see, what do? We're working on making this application the best it can possibly be. And so we're dedicated to that. We're up to, I believe, Lenny's about to announce Manifesto 4 for improvement on the application. And we're all really looking forward to digging in on that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, I would venture to guess that you're in the customer experience side of things.
I am most definitely in the customer experience side. I spend a lot of my time corresponding with our users just to find out how things are going for them, if they're able to make content quickly and easily, and if they can't, I help answer their questions. I do everything from support tickets to screencasts to tutorials to blog posts. So it's been a real wide-ranging opportunity. It's been a lot of fun, big learning experience too.
If I go to KristaStevens.com, I'm not likely to find links to the tutorials, though.
No. They're I'm trying to keep that a little bit separate.
It's not bylined stuff.
Pardon me?
It's not bylined.
No, the tutorials aren't
You're not building
bylined.
A little cult of personality around it.
No,
right?
No, absolutely not. I'm part of a team here.
So how do you understand the voice of WordPress and Automattic and PollDaddy? How do you become that voice? How do you become a vessel for that voice able to bring your unique skills and visions to something while being part of an existing brand that's very strong?
That's a really good question. And I think the thread that runs through Automattic and the thread that runs through WordPress.com, Akismet, PollDaddy, Gravatar, BuddyPress, Jetpack, all the different aspects of Automattic is a certain friendliness that that's apparent through all of the products. There's no pretension. It's just about making the best experience you can have. And that's where the source of the voice comes from, is just a, you know, relaxed, how's it going? Can we make you as comfortable as possible? That's where the voice, I mean, the voice is a work in progress as well. So just getting started with that now.
How much of that comes from Matt, do you think? And how much of it so comes from the top, and how much of it is just the vast community? How much of it comes?
That's a really good question. I think that a lot of it stems from Matt. It's his personality is infused through WordPress.com. But it's also a spirit that everybody in the company embodies. And it's been apparent, and that's been a really strong thread through my interactions with all of the different automaticians, whether they work in the different products or they're with the happiness team. Everybody has this real spirit of, dedication to helping the user and making sure the user has the most positive experience possible.
You said the happiness team. I just love that. Are you part of the happiness team as well? No.
I am kind of an offshoot of the happiness team. I have happiness as part of my my job responsibilities with Pole Daddy, and that I do work on support tickets. We all do. Very important part of WordPress.com, Pole Daddy. Everybody takes a hand at doing customer support. It's part of the 3-week rotation that everybody does when they first start with the company. Everybody spends time doing support. And it's a really good way to get to know what your users' needs are. So that's excellent. It's something that I really appreciate. It keeps people grounded. And it keeps you really in touch with what your user community wants.
If you're able to say so, do most people go for a pro account? Do most of your users have a corporate account? Is there a path that people tend to follow? Like, does everybody sign up for free, use it once, and then get a pro? How does that work?
Well, we have lots of different users. I think we get 500 signups a day for the free account that we have. And generally what happens is people typically like to try out Pole Daddy, and they like us. And so what they'll do then is sign up for a paid account, which is either a pro or a corporate account, which gives you varying levels of features.
So this, I mean, at the end of the day, are you involved then in shaping? So you come, the happiness team comes back and says, here's what we're thinking about. And then they come to you and say, are you controlling this? Do you have a say in this? And how are you creating those new features and deciding the future of this product? Is this part of your job, deciding the future of the product?
Oh, absolutely. We all have a hand in shaping the product. I mean, I think I'm probably the closest to it right now just because of the level of contact that I have with all of our users. I mean, I'm in direct contact with users every day, pretty much all day long. And so the feedback that I get from them and, you know, the stuff that I see via email, via support tickets, I use that information. I work with our team to help shape the product. So yeah, I definitely have a direct hand in helping to shape that.
That's something that just, it seems to me to be a luxury for a lot of companies. I mean, every time you hear companies talking about, oh man, support is our number one thing. You know, we've got to have great support. We've got to love the users and give tons and tons and tons and tons back to the users. But you know, you're 3 or 4 people in the company. Maybe you have one person dedicated to do it, and they're pulling out their hair trying to get all this done. It doesn't seem like a luxury that you can say, a huge part of my job is just interacting with people all day. I mean, that's got to be a luxury few companies can afford, right?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a luxury. I think it's really a necessity. I think that you really have to be close to your users. I mean, if your users aren't there using your product, then you're not there having a job and making a living and that kind of stuff. So I think it's a necessity. I think that personal contact with people is what sets Automattic and WordPress.com and Pole Daddy apart from some other companies who maybe might consider support a luxury.
Right. And you're saying it's absolutely not a luxury.
I think it's absolutely not a luxury. I think it's an absolute necessity.
Tell me about the iPad app. Have you worked on that? And what's the deal with that?
Yeah, the iPad app is really neat. It's what it allows you to do is it allows you to conduct man-on-the-street surveys with people using the iOS application. You can use it on iPod Touch, iPhone, and also iPad. So you can create your survey at your desktop, sync it with your iPad, and then, you know, stand on a street corner if you wanted to, or in a trade show, anywhere you like, and get feedback from your customers, your visitors, whoever that might be.
Is there a video of people doing that?
Is there a video of people doing that?
Is there a video of people? Because I think that could be a sexy, I mean, instead of just a screen that says you can do this, no more data reentry, have a nice day, it might be sexier if you saw, I don't know, Gary Vaynerchuk out on the street meeting his readers, asking them something for his next book. Do you know what I mean? Ms. Rose,
yeah,
you work with like social, social media people.
I mean, there's nothing like being like seeing your product being used in the field, and I think that's a really compelling idea.
If you have extroverted people, well, I think I'm sort of a middle level. I'm kind of in the background a little bit. You keep very much in the background. You're like executive producer, as opposed to like ballerina, right? But there are people in our field that are like much more extroverted, and one of them, or a couple of them, with the products could be a fun watch.
Absolutely.
Yay. Okay. Who would use Pole Daddy?
Who would use Pole Daddy? Anybody who wants to get some engagement from their site visitors will use Pole Daddy. We have all kinds of amazing use cases. I saw a really very cool poll the other day from Time and In Style, where they're asking people to vote on handbags. You know, everything from that to quizzing doctors in a, you know, what's your diagnosis kind of thing, where they, you know, they'll show a photograph of a type of ailment, and they'll have a quiz question based on, or a poll question based on what you think the diagnosis should be. So yeah, there's dozens of different ways to get it. The whole idea is getting feedback and getting engagement from your site visitors.
Because I have a symptom now, if you guys want to like look at it and set up a poll. So the name Pole Daddy I find that name disturbing. Don't you find that name a little disturbing?
No, I think it's kind of fun.
It's fun, but it sounds kind of raunchy, doesn't it?
What does it make you think of, Jeffrey?
70s porn.
Pole Daddy. Just because it has daddy in it, you mean? Just because of that?
Oh, hello.
Pole. I was thinking you were going to...
Oh, that you didn't think of that.
I was thinking the other kind of pole. I was thinking the other kind of pole.
Like the political pole?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess that's...
And there's a third kind.
Like the North Pole?
Well, somebody from Poland.
That's where... Oh, yes. That's a fifth. That's a fifth kind. Okay. How did you make the transition from reader and editor to customer-focused product feature designer?
Right.
That happened.
I think... that's a really good question. I think for me, it's just this love of the web. I want to make the web as good as it can be, and that's a thread that's run through everything that I've done on the web for probably about 10 years now. So for me, it's really easy I'm focused on what people have to say. I'm interested to know what users want to see with the product, what possibly could we do to make their experience better. So that's what I find compelling about getting up every day and doing this job, is that there's always someone who's going to help me to learn how to do something better.
How precisely do you interface with the customers? Is it all on like screencasts? Are you out on the street? Are you flying around the world meeting people? How does that work? Do you work out of your home?
I work out of my home. I have just a little home office set up here. I interact primarily through written communication. And I believe that that's an art form that is undergoing a renaissance and should continue to do so. You know, back in the day when you wrote a letter and you had, you know, there's books published about people's correspondence, you know, right, over the years, you know, and that's such an important thing. And I believe that the internet and the web gives us the ability to speed up that correspondence. And if you put the time into writing thoughtful, considered replies to people and making sure that you answer all of their questions and make them feel comfortable about asking them, that you can really make a difference. You can connect with those people. And, you know, the beauty of the internet is that it's, you know, that's an immediate connection. It doesn't take, you know, 12 weeks for your message to get across the water by ship or anything like that anymore. So that's really important to me.
What do you think are the best avenues then in 2011 for that kind of communication? I mean, is it still email? Is it Twitter? There are a lot of companies out there that will say, don't file bug reports on Twitter. Don't use Twitter is not our primary form of communication. And then there are other ones who say, tell us any way you want. I mean, is it important to make that distinction? And what are the channels that you guys like to use for that?
We use email a lot. We also have a Pole Daddy Twitter account. And I think, you know, it's great. Any way that a customer wants to choose to reach out to you is great. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter what channel it is to me. You know, if a customer is going to give you feedback, that's a gift, and you need to be open to it no matter where it's going to come from.
Do you ever think about just writing, "You're doing it wrong," as a reply to the customer?
Absolutely not. There's always, okay, every customer has something you to teach you if you have, you know, if you take the time to listen to what they have to say.
Do you collect all this? You mentioned collecting correspondence and the wonderful books, like, you know, the letters of George Sand to Frederic Chopin, that kind of thing. Do you keep the correspondence from the customers and share it with other team members? Is there some formal process by which that stuff's collated and reviewed by others? Or is it more, "Hey, Sally, I'd like you to look at this letter. It kind of touched me," or whatever, that kind of thing?
Yeah, no, we have a website type thing called P2 that we use across Automattic. And what it is kind of like a running sort of chat, but it's similar to, I guess, Twitter in a way, in that, you know, it's sort of threaded replies one after the other, but there's no limit to what you can, you know, the number of characters that you have to speak your mind or say your thoughts, or, you know, you can upload images and video and that kind of stuff. So a lot of the times, if we get, you know, a question or concern or a compliment, I'll post it right up there for everybody to see. We've been doing some stuff. We call it the "How's it going" email. So we've got a couple of use cases that we put into place to touch base with users after they've signed up for an account. So if they've made content, we ask them if there's any questions that we could answer, ask them how the experience was for them. And if they haven't, we ask them if they're having any trouble. And I've learned a lot from that experience, like getting those direct replies saying, "Yeah, this was super easy, intuitive. It was easy for me to get going. I was like 30 seconds later, I had this poll placed on my website, and now I'm getting user engagement from it. So it's fantastic." Or, "Here's a place where you could improve your sign-up process." You know, that's golden. It's absolutely golden.
Do you do follow-ups with customers, or do you wait for them to come to you?
Oh, we do absolutely do follow-ups with customers all the time. Yeah, it's really important. You gotta make sure that you know, you're reaching out every chance that you get. You know, my customer service philosophy is kind of like when you have guests over at your house. You got to take care of them. So we kind of have a lot of guests at our house right now, and it's my job to help look after those folks. You know, we all help out with it, but it's primarily my role, and it's something new for Poll Daddy, and it's something we've been doing a lot longer on WordPress.com, but it's exciting. It's a great opportunity. I've been having a fantastic time with it.
That's a really lovely metaphor. I like that. You came up with that? The house guest thing? It's nice.
Yeah. It's kind of the way I approach stuff.
You do have that personality. That's very true. And as for correspondence books, this will only make sense to you. I'm sorry, listeners. But I would like to do a book of Ethan Marcotte's animated GIF correspondence on Basecamp. I don't know how I get the animations to play in the book, but once I work that part out.
That would be absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
Nobody can do animated GIFs like Ethan Marcotte.
Yeah. We can't possibly
meet his sense of humor.
We can't. I've got cats, and it sounds like you've got dogs.
Yeah, I've got the sentinels at the door. I hope we're not under attack by the mailman or anything like that. So.
Okay. Do you need to go check on that?
No, he's fine.
Okay. Okay, I fed my cats right before the show. I'm working from home this afternoon, so I fed my cats right before the show. Otherwise, they'd be like all over this table.
Yeah, I know. I had to take them for a walk and make sure that they were going to be relatively tired so that they would they'd be quiet during this time.
Well, see, this is a perfect segue. I asked this, I think, before we started the show. You are working from home. You're not in a big corporate office or anything there. And Automattic does have an office. But you're not in it right now.
No, Automattic is a fully distributed company. We work from our homes, from cafes, from wherever it is that we want to work from around the world.
And that works well for you.
It's fantastic. I love it. I've only had one so-called home office fail since I started working with Automattic. And thankfully, no one else noticed. You know, I got up, I got ready, I put my, you know, pajama pants on, sat down, got a cup of coffee. A couple hours later, got up, got some toast, realized my pants were on inside out and backwards. You know what? That's okay. I was the only one who, I mean, if I hadn't shared that story, no one else would know. But it's kind of a bit of fun about working at home. Plus, you know, it's great to be able to spend time outside, take a walk, you know, have the dogs around all day. You know, there's a great standard of living that you get from this whole idea of working from home, and I absolutely love it.
I have constant foot massage working here. I have two young masseurs working for me full time, but that's another story. But yeah, no, it is nice.
Jeffrey, you do have an office, though, Jeffrey, right?
I do. I usually work out of the studio, but today I'm working from home, and it's very – before I just got back from South by Southwest. I'm about to go to Seattle, and before – you know, and a lot's going on in my life right now. So it actually seemed very grounding to be home today and just, you know, take it easy, make lunch. Just like little simple things like that are kind of nice and just take you out of the – a little bit out of the frenetic – work orientation.
Do you find, Krista, that you get ever get bogged down, though? Do you ever yearn for a different kind of social interaction or a change of scenery or anything like that, working in a, you know, working in, especially, and I'll say this, I mean, I don't know the size of the city that you live in, but you're probably at a greater distance from your colleagues than maybe most of the other colleagues are from each other. Does that ever affect you?
You know, I thought that it might, but you know, I I'm a self-described hopeless introvert, and so I'm comfortable by myself. You know, I might be alone physically, but there's a ton of interaction that we have during the day, and I'm on IRC all day long. I'm on IRC now with my coworkers. We do Skype chats, so there is no isolation. I think for me, it's great. We actually have another automatician who's in Winnipeg. That's Ian Stewart, and he works as part of the theme team. And we keep talking about getting together and meeting up and doing some stuff related to the WordPress.com meetups that they have here. But we haven't yet. And even though we only live 20 minutes away from one another. But it's been great. No isolation whatsoever. I really love the freedom of being able to work from home. It is a true pleasure.
I one of the things I really love about South by Southwest is it's 10,000 introverts getting together. It really is. And like everybody's kind of freaked out, you know, because it's like this party is much bigger than anything we ever do. You know, I'm like a one person go to lunch. I call it a busy social day. I'm sort of, like I said, like you're full introvert. I'm like half introvert.
Well, I try my best in social situations. And what I found that, you know, after having worked online, especially with my coworkers at Alista Park for quite a while, and you know, spending some time working with the automaticians, it was really easy just to be folded into part of that team. You know, when you walk into a place and they're all, "Hey, come and sit with us." It's you know, you have a tribe that accepts you, and it's a wonderful feeling.
You know,
so, yeah,
it
I didn't
does
find
sound
it difficult.
It does sound like very much the same experience, and very much very similar process. I mean, we don't, you know, like Alista Park doesn't have a theme team, right, or a happiness team. Well, we have a secret happiness team, but that's another story. But it is the same where you have these people and you interact, and there's, you know, some people are on Basecamp, some people are more on iChat or IRC or something. The job gets done, and there is this feeling of camaraderie and interaction happening all day long. And I know other people who, you know, like Eric Meyer does most of his business from his home when he's not on doing business travel, and is really not isolated between Twitter and IRC and all that stuff. It does seem like a new way of working. And as companies are looking for ways to cut down costs too, it's like it lowers liability, right? You don't have to house everyone and worry about that stuff. And it's better in a way. You can get people who are just really good at their job, and it doesn't matter where they live, and they can figure the time zones out for themselves.
Yeah, I think a list, you know, HappyCog and companies like Automattic are at the forefront of this, being a distributed company. I think some, you know, sort of the typical standard companies that you see out there, you know, they have difficulty with this. There's this disbelief that work is actually getting done. But, you know, anybody who spent time working online for any period of time knows that it's very easy to tell if someone's not doing their job. Our contact is too close. You know, it's just not something that you can get away with. And I think that this is it's a differentiator for companies too. There's some cost savings that are involved in that, and it's the wave of the future, really.
Well, whether you work together, I mean, there's advantages to both kinds, and actually HappyCog works both ways, depending on which office you're talking about. But we have these things called deliverables, and as long as people are delivering them and doing a really excellent job, it's kind of up to them whether they work best in a team in the same room or whether they work best, and, you know, sitting on their porch. Really doesn't matter to me. It's
absolutely
just
what matters is what gets done. That's the most important thing of all. And we're, like we say, we're tight knit. I report out each Thursday about what I do each week, and we have team chats. We have a town hall every month with our automaticians across the world where we get together and when we talk. I mean, it's just great. I've been really, really having a fantastic time with that.
Is there a company song?
I don't know. That's a good question.
How do you guys handle things like all hands meetings, or when you want to have a big meeting or a big group call? I mean, obviously having these sort of smaller companies within company, Paul Daddy is a good example of that, I think, in that you can have a smaller team of, I think you said 4, 5, 6 people on it. And it's easy to get those 5 people together to have a conversation, to have a meeting, to chat about something. But what about when Matt or when, you know, somebody else wants to rally the troops or get everybody together and make everything happen? What do you think of that? I mean, how does that work there?
For us, we do a town hall once a month, and actually the next one is tomorrow. And so we all get together, and oftentimes it'll happen at a meetup where Matt will get on and they'll do some WordPress TV where he'll broadcast with the team meetup. And it's a really sort of relaxed, informal, you know, how's things going? Here's some information. The rest of the company is participating via IRC. And it's just a great way to get everyone together to hear what the state of the company is. And just to get everybody together at once, which is really kind of neat. It's a lot of fun.
I want to jump in here, and we've got to say thanks to our sponsor. It's MailChimp. Yeah. But this is something very cool that they're doing. They've recently launched something they're calling the Integration Fund. They're giving away $1 million to designers, developers, people who are integrating MailChimp with their app. So this is very cool. Anyone interested in building an integration on the MailChimp platform, you're eligible for a piece of this $1 million. And the possibilities for integration, they're really never ending. And they're open to pretty much any kind of idea, any kind of app, anything that you have in mind. And this is the cool thing. They don't ask for any equity. This is your integration. So come up with a good idea. Go to MailChimp.com/integration fund. Could be an app you already have built. Doesn't matter. They will give you, I don't know, maybe $1 million, maybe a little less. Check it out. MailChimp.com/integration fund. Thanks to them for sponsoring. But this is a great opportunity. If you have an app and you think those kinds of services would be nice, I mean, it seems crazy. How can they do that, Jeffrey, give them $1 million away? That doesn't make
sense. I don't know.
How do they do that? But it's real. I verified.
It really $1 million?
It is real. The money is real, and it really is $1 million. But I don't think that doesn't go to like one guy. I think that goes to a several people. So this isn't so much a competition like, oh, it's only going to one person. I think a lot of people could go and pitch their apps and do something great. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, go do that. Any kind of app you want.
40 is the new 30. That's all I'm saying. 40 is the new 30, and you can get $1 million.
That's right. You don't need to be a 15-year-old high school kid to get startup money anymore.
I could qualify.
You could.
I could. That would be good. I also, while you were reading that very stirring message and sharing that really wonderful information, I noticed a tweet from a young man named Matthew Mullenweg.
Oh, yeah. Talk about high school kids who've done a few things already.
He said, the way you make customer service and support great is to put the best people in the company on it.
Wow. This is a guy who knows what he's talking about. We should get him on the show sometime.
We had him.
Oh, that's right. Sure did.
He was awesome.
He is awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome. So, Krista, your boss just said you're one of the best people in the company.
It's a nice compliment.
Well, that's wonderful, but I'm part of a large team. I'm just I'm the one happiness person we have with Pole Daddy, but there's several others who support WordPress.com who are fantastic individuals.
Put your best people on it, Krista. I mean, that says a lot. I'm being serious. That says a lot about it if you think about it. Put the best people you have in the company should be the people. I mean, it makes sense when you say it, when you think about it. But a lot of people, a lot of CEOs, a lot of founders out there are saying, no, I need my best guy doing the web design. I need my best guy doing the code. I need my best guy. I'm not going to, I'm doing air quotes, waste her time She's my best person. I'm not going to waste her time talking to users. That's the wrong way to think, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at BankSimple. You know, they're going to revolutionize banking with, not just the application that they're building, but their approach to customer support. And, you know, and Matt believes that too. And the people that we have working with WordPress.com support are the most dedicated individuals I've ever met. They are gifted at working with customers. They're gifted at offering feedback. Just a fantastic group of people. They really embody the spirit of Automattic and the spirit of WordPress.com. And it's, like you say, the best people are working on that at Automattic, definitely.
Yeah, that's very true from the other people that I know. And who are some of those people that you were saying are the greatest?
That
are
in
the
my
forefront
goodness.
Of customer service.
Wow. So my
don't
happiness
embarrass
team,
you. You
our
may forget.
Happiness team.
Yeah.
Gosh, that would be, I'd hope I don't miss any names here. So we've got right. Hanny Ross, we've got Sherry Bigelow, James Andrew Spittle, Hugh Sutton, Nako McCracken, let's see, Paolo just joined the company not too long ago, Ran, goodness, I hope I'm not missing any names here. I know that I have, and that's a horrible crime, but these people are awesome. They provide 24/7 support for WordPress.com, and they are just out of this world.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot like that, and I'm sure if you did forget anybody, I'm sure they'll, you know, there's nothing like doing a live show in front of 20,000 people and being asked your coworkers' names, so I am sorry about that. But how many of you are there total in the whole distributed company?
I think we're about 75 now. I was hired at the end of January, and I think we've hired a few more people since then, but we're about 75, 76.
That's it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's amazing what gets done with 75 people. It's a truly great team.
And that's for the corporate WordPress users too, like the big, you know, the huge, all the millions of people that are using it for free on WordPress.com and the people who are using it on a big magazine and all that, everybody's getting served by these 75 people.
Yeah, that includes that number includes everyone in our company. It includes people who work for VIP, like some of our VIP customers. It includes the happiness team. It includes all of our product support, you know, for Akismet, Gravatar, Jetpack, BuddyPress, all that kind of stuff. It includes everybody. Pole Daddy, that's everyone in our company.
How many of those people are focused on those smaller? Maybe I shouldn't say smaller, but how many are focused on the sub companies like Pole Daddy or Gravatar or some of the other acquisitions that you guys have made? Is the majority of the people focusing on WordPress, or is it kind of equally distributed out?
Well, that's a really good question. I think probably. Don't quote me on this number, but I'm thinking about 2/3 of the people are direct product support, would be it, you know, Pole Daddy or, Akismet, which is our spam killing software. I think it's about 2/3, and that's just a ballpark guess for me. I wouldn't quote me on that number.
It's interesting. I'm curious, you know, you mentioned the all hands meeting that you had. What about, you know, cross team communication? How do you prevent multiple people working on some of the same thing or reproducing work? How do you handle perhaps code sharing or infrastructure sharing or those types of issues? Are there people that have sort of cross-reporting in place, or are you operating kind of as independent products and product owners within a bigger company?
I would say it's more of the independent product owners, but we're all tight-knit as a group, and each of our team leads will report out throughout the week, and they'll share what's going on with each of the teams, and that's how we all keep in touch. We do a ton of communication on our P2 blogs inside the company, and keeping up with that correspondence is how I stay informed. It's how most people stay informed as well. That's how we prevent, contamination is the wrong word, but that's what popped into my head. Overlap, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
How involved are you on other things like the less well-known stuff like Plinky, right? Plinky, the inspiration software.
I'm completely dedicated to Pole Daddy. Pole Daddy is my love, my labor of love.
And you don't even know about Plinky.
Oh, I know about Plinky. Absolutely. Yeah, but no, I'm dedicated to Pole Daddy full-time.
Okay.
Now, is there mobility or movement within? So let's say you do Pole Daddy, and you do that, and you do it for a year or two, and you think, you know what, I like this, but man, it would be really cool to do one of these other things. And how can you do that? Is there movement around within? Is it something that's built into it? How do they handle that within? You know, I mean, it's a 75-person company. You'd think maybe there could be some changes once in a while. I know we're looking ahead. You just got started on this
thing. Yeah, I'm focused on Pole Daddy for the foreseeable future. But Automattic has, you know, there's a level of flexibility. It's a very supportive company. So I think if someone, you know, showed an aptitude in a certain area or even a desire to do something a little bit different than their current job responsibilities, you know, that would be supported. People do move around a little bit from time to time. But, you know, since what I've seen, we've had, you know, stability in the team. So yeah, there's opportunity in the future, but I'm really loving what I do right now, and I see lots of room for growth and improvement there.
So you're currently still... I'm sorry, Jeffrey. Let me ask this one quick, because this is pimping your stuff anyway. You work on a list apart. You're the editor, is my understanding. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
So how do you fit... And I've done a little bit to help out a list apart in the past, and even in my smaller role back then... I was always astounded by how much time the editor especially had to devote to running this thing. And in and of itself, it feels like it's a full-time job. How is it that you have time to do all of that editing work for List Apart? Hopefully Matt's not listening to this. But how do you have time to do all of that in addition to your regular job? I mean, there's a lot of work there. How do you balance that?
You know, it's easy for me to balance. My husband always says, you know, you're doing what you would do if nobody paid you to do it anyway. And A List Apart is my open source contribution to the web. It's what I do as part of volunteer activities. Matt and Automattic are very supportive of open source. I mean, can't say much more than that. It's easy for me to find the time because I love what I do. You know, interacting with our authors is so important to me. I love the editing process. I love seeing the ideas, being the first to see the ideas come, you know, through and evaluate those ideas and help people shape their pieces and finally publish them. That's, you know, it's a beautiful thing. It's why one of the reasons why I love the web.
Mm. You also have the support of Carolyn and Mandy.
Oh, yeah, it's
and
a great
Dan
team.
And Aaron and Ethan. So
the team is so good. That's
yeah,
great.
It's great. A team. So
it's a rock star team.
Yeah, they are a tremendous, hard-working team, and everybody's part-time, and it's similar to Automattic, and then it's distributed. We all work from our homes, from where we are. Carolyn Wood does an amazing job bringing articles in the door, working with our authors. Mandy Brown is, oh my gosh, she's smart as a whip, tremendous editor. We have a technical staff that helps us to evaluate the ideas that that are presented to us. You know, Aaron Gustafson, Dan Mall, Ethan Marcotte, Andrew Kirkpatrick. We have in our production team is also top notch. We've got Ryan Ireland and Aaron Lynch who do a great job making sure that the issue hits the streets on time every time we publish. So yeah, I'm fortunate. I'm part of two really fun, cool teams. I mean, what more could a person want?
Yeah. We should also mention, Kevin Cornell, illustrator, and Jason Santa Maria, creative director.
Yes. Their brilliance is par excellence.
Yeah. I don't think you need help picking up the slack. I mean, before, I don't think there's any slack. I think you're doing what you did before, because before this, you were working somewhere else as a full-time job, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not like you had a full-time job at A List Apart and were torn away from this by Pole Daddy.
Oh, no, absolutely. I worked
It's a labor of love. It's a labor of love.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't feel like I have to work anymore because I love what I do. I love to get up in the morning. It's, you know, I don't have any of those. I don't want to go to work tomorrow days anymore, which is fantastic. It's great to be inspired, and can't really say much more than that. It's, you know, I love the web, love working on the web, love contributing to the web.
Why do you think more people aren't? I mean, we have the A List Apart survey every year, and you know, no one's really picked up. It's not like any business publication has said, wow, we really should pay attention to those people. This is serious what's happening on the web. Everyone, it seems to me like when journalists cover the web, they're covering the big money deals, the astounding, you know, I had an idea and I got $41 million for something, you know, for something that I like coughed up in my sink one morning, right? Or you know, the valuation of Facebook and, you know, all those kinds of stories. They are amazing. They are newsworthy. But those are the only things that people really seem aware of. And they don't the multitudes of very skilled craftspeople, right? Writers, editors, designers, developers, user experience people, other specialties that I'm, you know, not going to constantly working, creating applications and content sites and communities. And that so much of our economy is now online. And so much of this work that used to be done producing, say, newspapers or something is now being done producing web stuff. And yet it gets so little coverage. It boggles my mind
I think the web is revolutionizing business, and it's one of the great untold stories. I mean, you think about what the web community is like, in that, you know, if you want to learn how to build a website, you can go online and read about how to do that for free. And by reading about it and by putting in your own effort, you can make something that was going to change the world. I just don't know why, you know, the, you know, news media isn't all over that. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I mean, I totally get why everyone knows who Zuckerberg is, but why doesn't everybody also know who Jeremy Keith is, for example, or Ian Hickson? I mean, or, you know, way too many to name. It's crazy to me. But now, at least some people know who Chris Stevens is, if they didn't before. So I want to thank you for coming a little bit out of your shell today and making time from your... Or I know very busy interactive day with Poll Daddy's users and Poll Daddy's staff and Alyssa Part. And thank you very much for your time. You were great, and it's a pleasure to see you.
Well, thanks very much. It was an honor to be on the show. It's been great. I've been a fan since day one, 5x5, and it was a real pleasure for me to have the chance to talk to you guys.
Thank you
so much.
Really glad to have you here, Krista. Anytime you want to come back, you let us know, and really appreciate it. Thanks again. Great insight.
Thanks, guys.
Jeffrey, we'll see you all again next week. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. You can hear this show at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. It's our new time. 3 p.m. Eastern time if you want to listen live every Thursday. And you can go to 5x5.tv, catch up on some of the older episodes, which are still quite good. Just listened to a few of them myself. I was surprised that they're even, you know, 40 episodes in, Jeffrey, are still relevant stuff in there, huh?
It's really true. I think our first episode was about WebType.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
With Font Squirrel and Jeffine of Typekit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how we roll. That's how we started.
That's right. That's how we start. So anyway, go and check out those older episodes. And if you enjoy the show, please consider rating it on iTunes. It helps new people find out about the show better than any other method out there. So we appreciate that.
Writing on bathroom walls helps too.
It does not hurt. That does not hurt. And we thank you. We thank you for joining us today. And thanks to MailChimp.com for sponsoring. Go there, check them out, get $1 million. Can't complain about that. Have a good week. See everybody next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.